Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tommy, Hector and Larita podcast. We'd like to let you know that we have an extra bonus subscriber-only episode that's available now every Monday if you go to thlpod.com or Acast Plus. You can find out how to subscribe.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to this week's episode, which is called Vasco da Gama by Emily Tracy. Now, we've a bit of fallout from our visit to the County Mayo. As you may have heard, we did a bonus episode and a regular Thursday episode. And the Thursday episode, Hector in particular was quite harsh on the people of Mayo, on the people of Ballina.
But I'm afraid.
But hang on, let me finish. I think what happened, a lot of people get my voice and Hector's voice mixed up in the recording. So can you tell us what the feeling around the streets of Ballina was after the podcast was released?
Well, there's absolutely no question about the voices or the situation that's unfolded. You're not welcome in Ballina, Tommy.
Fuck off.
No, Tommy.
You're not allowed to go back to do any gigs there. They don't want to see you and they don't. Thankfully, people have realised that you were clearly trying to fucking rise me and annoy me, but I wasn't biting. A lot of people have been out in support and saying, Jesus, how fucking dare, who the fuck does he think he is? He's from fucking Navan. Navan.
Were there I hear people, there was a march on Saturday night in protest.
They were quite clearly, they're fully aware that it was me and Hector that were happy enough to be there. Obviously, it's my lovely town.
I took the middle ground.
Tommy,
there was a lot, you unleashed a lot of wrath.
People in Ballina were so excited to meet you and say hello to you and, you know, welcome you to the town and be all like, oh, look, it's great to have you here. And then you went and you, and then at the end trying to be, oh, it was lovely. They didn't buy the end of it and they're not a fan of you and they're not happy. And the people of Ireland, let alone Ballina, are not happy.
Larita, were you safe over the weekend? Was there any petrol bombing on your house? Were there any people standing outside there with hoods and torches?
People just felt sorry for me that I had to be abused the way I was about my town. But that's fine. I said, listen, we're bigger people in Mayo. We're used to being set upon by bullies, and we're happy. We're happy in our own skin, and we know how important our lovely town is to us.
Okay, that's very beautiful.
And you know what? I'm looking forward to going to Navan.
It's like a fucking imagine
me going to Navan and saying, "Oh, look at the fucking state of this street. Oh, look at the fucking state of the people in here. Oh, this place is depressing. Oh, look at it's fucking depressing. Oh my God, such a depressing place." Oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, imagine me doing that. It would be just so insulting to you and your people from Navan.
No, because
I wouldn't do it. Not in a million years. Not in a fucking million years would I do it.
You're starting to sound like a fucking traveling Navan.
Not in a million years.
I wouldn't do it in a million years. I wouldn't do it in a million years.
Larita. And I'll tell you something else.
Oh, don't.
There's other people all over Ireland. Oh, you should come here. You should come to Gort. You should come. No, don't fucking invite us because Tommy will fucking take your town apart. Discover Ireland, my arse. They wouldn't fucking
hide Ireland. How about that?
Thanks a million. We're looking for. We want people to advertise in the bloody podcast. Discover Ireland, the west of Ireland, the fucking Greenway. Nobody will advertise with us. Thanks a fucking million, Tommy. Like, And I'll tell you something.
I'll tell you something now.
And I not got new. I will not have it said about my lovely place. And people are insulted, and you, Tommy Tiernan, you have to apologise to them. And I'll tell you what, you should go back and you should stay there for a fucking week and see how
as
bad
punishment.
It is. Yes, no fucking punishment. How dare you? Knock more. Me so fucking proud of my lovely place and how lovely it is there. Well, look at our lovely church. Look at our lovely bar. Look at our lovely pitch. Look at our lovely shop. And you fucking pissing all over
look
it.
Look at our lovely shop. It's like an episode of Father Ted.
My favourite one was go up to the schools and tell the kids to run,
yes.
Get out of here.
Come on up and I'll show you where my lovely, where I used to swim as a child. It's fucking dark in the prison and there's fucking stones there and it's fucking awful. Oh fuck, I've got hay fever. I'm allergic to it. How fucking dare you? Okay, so apologise and I will turn my mic off now and I will listen to you apologise and grovel. You fucking go to Hotel Ballina and you do gigs there. Well, I can tell you, nobody will be fucking going now. So, how do you feel about that? Fuck's sake, I'm sorry I ever brought up anything about Knockmore Ballina. I'm sorry to the people from Ballina. I'm sorry for bringing you down. And I'm sorry for the fucking attitude that was portrayed there and how bad our town looked. Because our town is a good place, full of good people and nice things. And you fucker. And I was very tolerant the last day because you had hay fever and we were in a new surroundings and I tried to be nice. And I held it all back and I said, no, I won't be risen. No, I won't be risen. But then I got fucking risen when people said to me, Jesus, you were very tolerant. Did you hit him? Did you hit him? I wouldn't hit you because I'd only hurt you, but go on.
I would just like to say.
Yes, and be fucking nice now. Don't do a double-edged sword. Oh, I'm always awful nice now. Genuine.
We want genuine here.
Genuine. If there is anybody in the town of Ballina who needs rescuing to be taken out at night, I will do a special forces rendition. I will do a drive up at night with the ghost driving with no lights on, driving straight in the centre of the town and put anybody who wants to escape in the back of the van.
Well, that's the only time you'll be safe to go to Ballina in the middle of the night in a fucking dark van, in a pair of sunglasses with a mask on and a hat, because people do not like Tommy Tiernan in Ballina. So now let's move on before I get more annoyed.
That's the end of today's podcast, ladies.
That's even possible. Oh, you feel better now?
Loretta, I knew it was coming. I'd say your phone was hopping. Texted. What did you feel on the streets?
And you know what? The poor people in Ballina were trying to pretend they weren't embarrassed. They pretended they weren't even listening to it and they didn't hear it. But you let the whole fucking world hear it. Oh, that's great, Tommy. I wouldn't go to Ballina now on the sucking back of that. Now, how do you feel about that? Fucking cutting tourism off in our fucking town. Don't come to North Mayo. Well, don't fucking bother anyway because we don't need you. We're happy enough where we are in our own place and our own surroundings of fucking Knockmore and like cut the grass and line the pitch and everything for you. And that's what we get. Well, fuck off.
Slagging. You can't take a slagging.
I just say that is the finest 7 minutes to come out of Mayo.
That's it. I'm gonna put that into the book of great Irish speeches that I have.
I'll stand up at the pulpit.
Loretta. Anyway, we salute you. We salute you.
It's fine. It's fine. You know, we're happy enough in our own little place, in our own little surroundings. But fuck off if you're coming down again.
I was watching a show about slavery.
And it reminded you of North Mayo, did it?
I was watching a show about slavery. And one of the scenes was a fella on a horse and he's telling all the slaves to stop picking cotton that they can go home for the evening. And I thought to myself, what the fuck has changed? Do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
They were forced to do work that they didn't want to be doing. And I just thought everybody who works in an office to pay off debt is in the same situation. It's a lot nicer now than it was back then. But it's the same kind of situation. Everybody who signed up for a 25-year mortgage is in the fucking same situation. Everybody who's out Monday to Saturday now, practically as these days, working at a job they don't really like, is in the exact same fucking situation. And there's something about the human mind that allows itself to be enslaved. And then I was watching, there was I'm very interested in the abuse of power, and I was watching the Euros, and it was Wales against Italy in Rome. and the match was going on. There was a couple of thousand people. But the thing that disgusted me was in front of the fans, all the way around the stadium, were people on chairs watching them and not watching the match.
Yeah.
Now, that was somebody's idea, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, we'll get people, we will hire people to look, but not even hire, we'll force
people.
Were
they stewards? Or?
They were stewards. Yeah. But who? What type of a fucker would get that as an idea?
But should they do that in Croke Park, don't they, as well? They do it in all these stadiums.
The stewards in Croke Park are different. They have a little pack of sandwiches and they're at special locations. They've been doing it volunteering.
But I don't think that.
They don't really patrol the stadium. Like.
No, but these guys were sitting down on little deck chairs watching the crowd.
What is it? What are they there for?
They're watching the crowd that there's no trouble, but imagine the action
is on
the
pitch. Did you see the 40,000 Hungarians with the tops off?
That was fantastic. Yeah. That was amazing to see. But this was Italy against Wales.
Are they stopping people from social distancing?
No. You see it at all those big matches. There's always the stewards are looking back at the crowd as opposed to looking at the match, just for a crowd control or whatever it is.
Now you can understand it maybe at in a particular section. Say I've gone to Liverpool United matches, or maybe Liverpool Leeds or something like that. And what they do is they have a line of police dividing the fans, or Liverpool Chelsea, and that's fine. But it was somebody's idea to get somebody else to sit at a match and look. And yesterday there was fuck all people at the match because it's only like a 20% full. So what kind of an arsehole comes up with that idea to say, I'm going to pay somebody else who I don't respect very much? You wouldn't ask that of somebody who you thought was your equal, would you?
No.
And would you? If you said, okay, you and me are equals, it's only when you feel superior to somebody that you say, you'll sit there now and don't fucking watch the match.
Yeah.
Very hard for a young lad or anyone to
sure that's
to
society
not, to not.
In general, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's the way it's been for a long
time. Well, it just struck me that the slavery thing is still, the ghost of it is still abounding.
Of course there is, when you look up to the type, the seats at the FIFA. Do you see them all in the armchairs above? They were all up there, and I saw Fabio Capello was in the background. Did you see the seats, the big luscious armchairs they have? The posh seats, the VIPs, the FIFA heads.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, down there, the boys are on the deck chairs watching the fans instead of watching the match. It's like, but that's always been the case, Tommy. Slavery. It's the same for somebody going in and working in a fast food joint at 6 o'clock in the morning.
For 2 hours.
Paying for their own uniforms before they even start work. Or your money for your uniform is taken out of the...
Yeah. And you work for a 2 hour shift, like... I mean, how are you supposed to live your life like that? How can you? And then these poor people have to do four jobs or three jobs to keep going. And it's like, that's practically slavery, you know.
But there's something in the human personality that chooses to make other people suffer, and also that chooses to accept suffering. So we have generation after generation of Irish people is choosing to get into long-term debt. We're choosing it. Because the culture sends ads for the bank on every fucking 15 minutes on the television. You know, start your life over with us. We have a government which encourages us to spend money. Don't be saving. Spend. So we have a culture that kind of, there's something in our fucking psyches that accepts domination. It's almost like we've had it for so long, we're more fucking comfortable with it.
Yeah,
it's like people who were fucking, if your father bet you, then you'll go out with the fucking, when you're in your 40s, you'll be with a man who beats you. Yeah. It's like we're choosing the same fucking dynamic over and over and over again. We got rid of the church. The church are no longer the people who give kind of moral guidance. But we've handed that responsibility over now to fucking newspapers and public commentators and fucking radio DJs. It's the same fucking dynamic at play, just different masks on the people in charge. Do you know?
Yeah.
And all of this is just a way of just saying sorry to the people of Ballinan.
I don't know if I should tell you this, but Clive will really kill me if I tell you this.
Okay, well,
so
he's stealing equipment from B&Q.
No, this was one of the most bizarre, funniest things I've ever heard. He rang me on Saturday morning. He says, "Wait, till you hear?" He says, "Don't tell anyone this."
Well, why did you say it was Clive then, and not just somebody?
He'll kill me if I tell you, but I feel my duty, just like an Audrey story, to tell you.
Yes,
Clive has a problem with his bladder. And
sorry.
Not his prostate, no.
Bladder, prostate, all of that area down there, around the waterworks area. So last Friday, and I'd be talking to Clive maybe twice a day on WhatsApp. Maybe we'd call each other a couple of times a week.
Now just for people to know as well, your bladder isn't your ball bag. Your bladder is a little bag inside your body.
Yes, but there's only one way to access this. And last Friday, Clive had to go in to get a procedure done.
Oh no, not down the fucking the eye of the tiger.
It was down, and so in he went last Friday morning, and he told me about this over a coffee on Saturday morning. He went in anyway, and they were going to put a camera up through his willy.
Oh, Jesus, that's a violation.
Did you ask Roscoe to do it?
It's going to be on Hector's next programme.
So I'm sitting there, outside Ruth's in Clare Galway.
Hector goes cock.
In through the sunroof, in through the attic door, in fuck through, as Tommy said, the eye of the tiger. And I'm there going,
how does
Jesus,
that work now?
Jesus, Clive. I was sitting up in the car going, Jesus Christ. And I says, what's that sensation like? He goes, wait till you hear this.
Is it easier if you have a horn?
I was just wondering the
same thing. No, you don't want to be on a horn.
You'd need it to keep a thread, no?
I didn't ask him that.
It'd be like the difference now between going through, if you had a horn, it'd be like the Euro tunnel. Whereas if you were the soft Mickey, it'd be like
the corkscrew.
Or just, as the fellas, like playing pool with a rope. So it'd be like trying to...
I feel it.
As a man, this is a very tender subject and a very tender area. So he went in Friday morning.
Yes.
But I think you get used to it. It sounds awful.
Tommy, yes.
But I'd say the pain of it, you get used to it. Pain is...
Tommy,
you get used
the
to very
sensation
easy.
Of something entering that area. So he's gowned up.
So I wonder,
goes,
is it a woman? Does she hold your...
There's two nurses there.
So they're holding... So you'd be getting excited with the touch, no? The warmness.
No, you don't get it. No, there's no excitement here. There's no excitement being in a gowned area with just you and a screen and a television screen. And he had a screen in front of him. There was a nurse holding his head and a nurse holding his feet. And then in comes the consultant. He goes, hiya, how you doing? Right, we're just going to have a little look. So here, as you can see, here's the camera. And it's miniature. It's a miniature little cotton bud thing with about 7 foot of wire off the bottom of it. And he says,
is it plugged into something?
It's plugged into the TV screen, Tommy.
So
he said, what we're going to do is we're going to insert in here. We're going to push a little bit. We're going to insert. And as it inserts.
Did the lubricate it, I wonder?
I don't know. So he's there lying in the thing.
And who's holding his balls?
That's what I was wondering.
That consultant is down
there. Is it just the consultant that's down there, or is he a team of nurses?
No, one nurse is holding his legs so he doesn't jolt his legs. And another nurse is sort of rubbing.
Is anybody holding his hands in case he basically fucking punches somebody?
Or
he said another nurse was holding his temple. And
somebody
she was
holding.
She was rubbing his forehead as it was happening. And then I said, I'm having a coffee with him on a Saturday morning outside Ruth's. He's there going, I said, Clive, please tell us, what was that like? He said, so she started going, and he goes, okay, Clive, now we're just going to enter in. And he said, it was the maddest sensation. No, deep breaths. And in it goes, and then another inch. And then all of a sudden, he's looking at the thing, you know, he's looking at the TV screen.
We think the fucking antigen test is bad.
I was imagining
he said it was the maddest sensation ever into the bottom of his stomach. You could feel something going into the bottom of his stomach and rooting around. And then all of a sudden, he's there. Good man, Clive. The consultant's going, good man, Clive. Deep breath. And then all of a sudden, you hear the nurse going, Clive. You're not the Clive off the Tommy and Hector and Larita podcast. And he's there. Yes, I am. She goes, Jesus Christ Almighty. What a moment for Clive.
Oh, he's traumatised.
What a moment for Clive.
But that's the only way to get at the bladder.
In around there, they had a route around everything, Tommy.
Sure, what other way would you go in?
They had a route around everything.
The bottom of your stomach. Like,
no, they went in. It was in around everything around there. He said he never, when he told me, Clive, you're not the Clive of the Tommy. He's 4 foot inside his willy with a camera. A good moment for Clive.
And did they sort it out?
He's fine, 100%. But he said he was looking at his whole insides as the camera was moving through. The sensation, he said, was something else to behold.
So Jeff Bezos obviously split up, very public breakup with his wife. And in order to deal with his breakup, he's going to send himself to space. And, you know, he's...
Now, so who's putting this narrative on it?
He's blasting himself into space.
Yeah, but who's putting the narrative of, I need some space, so I'm going to go to space?
But that's what I was just wondering about that. Like, you know, how do you deal with relationship breakups? Like, is it a massive thing, or is it a midlife crisis, or is this a kind of a, look at me, I'm independent now, I'm going to...
Well, how old is he? Was he? Have they been together a long time? Maybe
I think she was there from the beginning.
She was, yeah.
Maybe he...
He's breaking loose now, and his way of doing
maybe,
it.
Maybe the two of them are. Maybe she's...
But you'd wonder, like, why going to space? Like, what's that going to do for him?
He's bringing the brother-in-law to space, or the brother, yeah, isn't he? The two of them are heading off.
Yeah. Is that the ultimate thing to do if you're, like, super, super wealthy? Like, is there nothing on planet Earth for you if you're that wealthy that you just go, like, is this the ultimate fucking explosion of your life? Go to space, like. Is it a midlife crisis? Have you had a midlife crisis?
See, I don't like...
What are you looking at here?
Don't be drawn into the spider's web, Hector. Because
I
can feel myself getting caught here.
Yeah, because,
I'm interested.
Because you've no respect for the midlife crisis.
No, I have.
Well, you don't.
You haven't spoken about your one yet, Mrs. Bezos. What's Mrs. Bezos?
What's her name? Betty.
She didn't go to space yet, or she didn't make any...
What's she doing? She's down in Puerto Escondido in Mexico with a 20-year-old Mexican Thai boy.
I noticed your reaction to the midlife crisis, so can we just go back to that?
Okay.
You must be at your midlife point now. Like,
crossroads. Yeah, go
the midlife crisis is like the menopause, but worse.
Yeah. So have you hit it yet? Because you're, on average, you probably won't live till you're 100. So you've probably tipped on it or came near
I think
it.
I'm having it today, my midlife crisis.
Everything's gone spliffingly until this.
I think I'm having it today.
You must have. Did you do anything that was extravagant or did you come to a point where you're like, oh, fuck, this, I need to do something else. I need to, oh my God, like, whoa. You kind of both stuttered very much when I asked about it. And you were like, so there's obviously something there that you would like to talk about. So I'm here to listen to
you. Like a fucking angry psychotherapist.
Larita.
Come on, I want to know.
Ask us specific questions.
Do we need to accomplish something?
Did you buy something extravagant?
There's a change has come over you this week, Larita, that is impressive. And
I like...
I think it's time to be assertive. After last week, I was abused. And I no longer will be sitting in the shadows and be abused. So let's talk about your midlife crisis.
Can I ask you something?
No,
here?
I want to know.
You've segued in a whole different topic now from Jeff Bezos, who started selling Bibles in his garage, yeah, and Mrs. Bezos wrapped up the first Bible and they sent it away and they got $7 for it. Now they're making $100 million a day. You've segued from somebody going to space with his brother to now find out what the fuck is up with us
two. You're looking suspicious now. You're awful uneasy. You're moving on the chairs a lot. You're fixing the microphones. So I realise that Jeff is going to space because Jeff has divorced or else he's hitting a midlife crisis, and I'm wondering what has your midlife crisis
been?
It's too big
and vague a question because you need to ask us specifics.
Right. What? Have you had a midlife crisis yet, or do you feel like it's approaching?
I wouldn't say that I've had it yet.
You wouldn't?
No, I don't think so. But I think it could be a good thing.
That you haven't?
No, to have it. I think to evaluate and to plan your escape is important.
And you haven't thought about that yet?
To free myself from the shackles of the consumer society.
Yes.
To free myself from the shackles of debt.
Yes.
And to take the family, if they'll come. I hope they'll come. They may
but you're
not
going
come.
Anyway.
I have to. I have to head for the hills.
So your space my might plan be the would island,
be,
is it?
No, my plan would be that in the middle of the night, myself, the wife, the three children, the two dogs, and the other older children and their children, just leave Galway under the dead of night and fucking go. Gone. Never to be settled again. I think I've an inner traveller, actually.
I think you have as well, listening back over a few of the podcasts, I think you would have, you'd be better as a traveller.
I think I would be, yeah. I'd make a good traveller. I'd be soft. I wouldn't win any fights and I wouldn't be good with horses.
But you'd be more of the traveller going around from place to place, making a couple of pots and, sitting.
Not even that.
There's a traveller in all of us.
Yeah, I'd be the type of traveller going around challenging fellas to a game of pool.
Right.
And then flirting with their missus.
Where would you take them in the dead of night?
Then my missus bait me up. I saw you talking to her!
Yeah.
And baiting the head of me.
And
where would you head for?
Time.
Where would your first port of call be if you had all the kids in a big van or a minibus?
I'd go west as far as I could and then I'd start going north. And then as soon as I started feeling cold again, I'd probably head south.
So you'd go...
Not even to towns, I'm talking general directions.
Would you go global or stay on the island?
It depend. If I went west...
Imagine up to the north. Where's Tommy? Above in Norway.
Yeah. If I went to the west and a fella said, I have a boat, no, and I can take you further west, I'd go.
Would you?
Myself and the wife and the six children and all their children and the two dogs.
So you'd be bringing a full army, would you? Oh, yeah.
The Tiernans all go together.
There'd be a few vans going, like.
Yeah, yeah.
I often see those lads playing.
I love that. Is that a midlife crisis?
I suppose.
To be dreaming about that.
Yeah,
do you
that
know what
would
mean?
Be.
Is it in the slavery show that I was watching, two of the slaves ran away.
Okay.
To probable certain death.
Yeah.
But one of them says to the other, I can't fucking stay here no more.
You'd be as well dead anyway.
We as well dead fucking staying here. Now, if you were talking to that slave, would you say to him, your desire to escape is an expression of a midlife crisis?
Hmm.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be saying, fucking, your instinct is to run, so run, fucker, run. That's the name of the show, Run, Fucker, Run.
Chris, yeah.
Run, fucker, run, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there is a kind of a traveller in both of you, you know. So I wonder, is that linked to where you're from?
Navin,
is that?
No.
Well, are you trying to get away from it all the time?
The travellers that I knew in Navin, I knew the McDonoughs, fucking great people, great down-to-earth, solid people, but I didn't know them as a travelling family, as in a family that moved from place to place.
Mm.
Do you know? I remember I was in Garbally for a few years in Ballinasloe, you know, and every October the horse fair was on.
Mm.
Fuck me. It was like Glastonbury for travellers. It was fucking unbelievable, lively, exciting, sexy, dramatic, dangerous, outlaw country.
Mm.
And it was fucking thrilling.
And you were never tempted to head off with them?
Fucking right I was.
Ponies tied to the fucking doors of jeeps and fur jackets.
Just an element of fucking lawlessness and fun.
Yeah.
And young ones dressed up.
And animals. Big 8-foot-tall horses. And fucking. But I wouldn't see. Say I ran away with the travellers.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't. And the guards stop us. And they say, we've had word now that there was a young fella after running away from the boarding school and we think we might have escaped with a family of travellers. And the boss man would say, well, there's nobody in here, sir. There's nobody in here, sir. They're my own kids there now. You can talk to them. And he goes through all the travellers. What's your name? My name is Patrick John Joseph, sir. And he goes to the next one. My name is Joseph John Patrick. And next fella, my name is Joe Jimmy John John. And what's your name? My name is Tommy Tiernan. I'd be fucking spotted in an instant.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You'd fit in perfectly.
You would blend in.
I'm bald, so there's no bald travellers, is there?
No, there isn't, but you're not fully bald yet, so you'd be sound. And you wouldn't have been then, I'm sure, so you would have been fine.
But yeah, escape.
So that's your kind of... your.
My dream is of... Yeah, it's to be a traveller. Like, one of the greatest things I ever saw was a thing about a fellow called John Doherty, who wasn't a traveller now, but he's a Donegal fiddler. And he used to traipse during the summer. Just fucking traipse. From one end of Donegal to the other, just calling into houses, saying, you want a bit of work I got to do for you?
Right.
And they'd do a bit of work and they'd say, are you John Doherty the fiddler? And he'd say, why am I? And he wouldn't have his own fiddle, but there'd be a fiddle in the house and he'd fucking take it down and play a few tunes. I'm very taken by that. I was once did a walk from Dowra, from Manor Hamilton to Dowra, I think it was, or maybe it was from Dowra to fucking Carrick and Shannon. And it was the old Derry Road. It must have been the old Galway Derry Road or the old Sligo. It was a road for a horse and a carriage. And I was walking that and I passed by this fucking graveyard and I went in. And there was a tombstone erected to... it was for the unknown piper. And it was this piper man who'd fucking... That's what he did. He travelled as a piper. And that fucking struck a chord at me.
Mm.
Something in that went, fuck, that man is alive in my imagination still. A traipser. You know, half tramp, half talker. That's what I am.
You're sort of a dreamer, though.
Total dreamer.
Mm. And that didn't come as a midlife crisis. That's always been
I don't like that term now. The more I hear it, and I've heard
you're
it.
You're a bit anxious about
no,
it.
No, I've heard it 6 times on the show today.
Let's talk
it's
about
like
it.
It's like somebody's come up with this fucking term for something, and I just don't like terms.
Yeah, it's like the manopause.
Yeah, manopause. fucking this.
Clearly, you're going through
who
that.
Who comes up with these names for
so
shit?
Go on,
no midlife crisis when a man lived in a cave and all he had was a lump of fucking meat
and a rock.
And a wife and his naked kids running around the place, long hair. There was no Timothy. 4 days ago, zebra passed here. That's what he's just after saying. On tomorrow, the sun will rise. We will march.
Chingo chaka pacha.
My wife is going to make sandwiches for the journey. That's what he said.
Wow, but like, that was a lot longer now.
No, but there was no terminology. Terminology is a new thing. Again, the humans. So
what would you call it then?
What is it? Midlife crisis? There's fucking no midlife crisis. It's all the same. I say numbers. I don't know. Midlife crisis.
What instinct is binoculars to be reckoned with.
Instinct.
Is to be reckoned with, you know.
I'd love to go back and play five. I was watching lads
see?
Play five-a-side. I watched a load of men playing five-a-side there, and there was a lot of timber on a few of them. I was above in Merview last Wednesday night.
We could go into the senior league, Hector. That's what we are now.
Tommy,
I think in the same way that I peaked in primary school, I think my time is coming. Over 50s, I could shine.
Do you think that
you
have your touch?
I shine amongst the 50-year-olds.
Have you got your touch still, Tommy?
Well, I say my left leg is gone entirely, so I could only fucking... I'd be like a fucking Subutio goalkeeper. I'd be stuck in the
imagine,
one spot.
Right, imagine
you'd be like
this.
The lads and Father Ted and the over 75
imagine if
soccer.
We went down and we got new AstroTurf runners, we got new shin guards and new everything, and then we turned up in a cage, five-a-side cage, man.
I'd be destroyed. I wouldn't have.
You should do it. You should do
no,
it.
No, because we think our touch is still there. There's something in me that still says, would I get back out and start playing a bit of little five-a-side soccer? See if the touch is there.
Space!
See if I can curl in that top goal.
You'd need indicators to turn. Oh,
but if I saw a video of us playing... maybe we shouldn't, but
so you see, you haven't even reached your midlife crisis. You're going backwards.
I don't think there is a midlife crisis. I just don't think so.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jesus. I told you about the recurring nightmare I have about plane crashes.
No. Is that why you have a fear of planes?
I told you about that, didn't I?
No, you never brought that up.
You never
we know
you?
That you have a
So I have a recurrent... People talk about recurrent dreams or recurrent nightmares. Well, mine is that I'm on a plane and that it's... we're flying along and next thing we start fucking dropping.
Right.
Right. We drop and when people are screaming and we crash... But we always crash near an airport and I survive the crash and I leave the plane and I get on another plane. That's the dream.
And it just keeps crashing?
The second flight never crashes.
Because you wake up in time.
The dream only lasts for the first crash and getting on the second plane.
Interesting.
The type of plane changes, the type of people on the plane change, the destination changes, the type of crash changes, in a sense.
Yeah.
But it's always just a sudden fucking plummet,
drop,
hurtling towards the ground, a phenomenal fucking crash. I get up and I'm in an airport and I walk and I get on the next plane. So in terms of that feeling of, I'm used to that feeling. If I'm ever in that situation, I get that feeling, I said, this is not the first time I felt this.
Ah, yes, I see.
You know what I mean? I'm used to that thing of all of a sudden the drama of the drop and the fucking plummet.
And the panic.
And in a dream you're feeling it. You're going, okay, this is happening. I can't do anything to change it. Fuck. And then and then I'm walking, because shit, that wasn't so bad. And I get on another plane.
Yeah, that's interesting.
How often would you have that dream?
Well, I'd have it often, so it'd be a regular dream I'd have in my life.
Where did that come?
Different airports, different types of planes.
Jesus, Tommy.
Different countries, but always the same situation.
If there's any psychologists listening, don't interpret that for us. We don't need to know the
answer.
Where
is it coming from?
I think it's about volunteering for stressful situations.
Sorry?
I think it's about pressure. And about always volunteering for...
When do you volunteer to put yourself into stressful situations? I didn't realise that you were in line to be a Volunteer of the Year award.
What is going on today, Hector?
Loretta.
Go on, Tommy. What
stressful... Like, okay, so go on then. Well, I'll name some stressful situations for you.
That you volunteer yourself into. The
word volunteer is just used as a sort of an adjective.
I choose stressful situations.
Okay. And then
that's my job. My job is about pressure and delivering under pressure. Chat show, stand up, acting. It's all the same.
Podcast,
six children.
It's all the same. It's all the same type of thing. And it started when I was very young. And I made I made a decision. Maybe because the house was stressful at home, but I made a decision when I was 12 to not do my homework. And I'd go into school and I...
For the pressure of it, is it?
I was trying to figure out what that pressure was. So I needed to live with it. This wasn't what I was thinking at the time.
Yes, of course.
But looking back, I was going, it would have been so easy for me just to fucking do my homework.
And study. And get on.
But something in me said no. So what I'd do is get up and I'd fucking get into school 8:45. Between 8:45 and 9:00, you'd copy the homework for the first class. During the first class. While she's teaching you history.
You're
copying your maths. Right?
Yeah.
Undetected. You get into maths and then you copy homework for one of the third classes between the little break and the big break. If you make it towards the little break, you've got 10 minutes of furious fucking copying to get done. And then if you made it towards lunchtime, you were set because you had 45, 50 minutes then to do the afternoon's homework.
Living on the edge.
But day after day of just fucking... It was the same when I did the stand-up with no preparation.
Yeah.
I was going out in front of fucking 300 or 400 people, having no idea what... And choosing it. Choosing the fucking stress of that. Volunteering for it. Going, yeah, I want that. The chat show. I have no fucking... The pressure of not being able to prepare. Stand-up, acting. Pressure in acting of knowing that you're walking onto a film set and there are going to be 30 or 40 people immediately judging your performance.
You get a buzz off that.
I don't know what I get, but I choose the situation. So in terms of death...
I see what you mean, yeah.
That's not really connected to death.
No,
but
I understand.
But the dream is a death type of dream. But I think it's that feeling of stress that I'm volunteering.
I wonder why it's a plane journey. I wonder why you're always in the sky. I wonder why it's recurring.
I suppose because you've no control when you're in the sky. You know what I mean?
You're not flying it.
You're not flying it. So you're going with someone else and you're just not sure where it's
going. There's an awful lot of people, obviously, who have the fear of flying. If I had a fear of flying, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing because I've got on some planes in the middle of jungles and taken off with double propellers. I've been on hundreds and hundreds of flights.
Have you ever felt that you were faced with death and you escaped it?
Oh, we took off in Perth one day, but this is just pure. This isn't a dream.
Not flying, but just in general, have you ever...
There's been some scary flights with turbulence and lightning hitting the wings of a jet and the whole thing goes to darkness for a second and the lights come on. As we left Perth in a storm about an hour and we were coming home to see the babies. Rian was a year and a half. Shane was about 6 months old. Roscoe had a child as well. Jack was only 6 months old. We had a 3 week gap and Evans decided to go to Bali. Me and Roscoe decided to come home and see the kids. We left him in the Holiday Inn in Sydney or in Perth at the airport. He was kicking back at the pool. Me and Roscoe went to Perth. We had a few gin and tonics. Then we had a few more gin and tonics. Then we got on the flight. About an hour into the flight, as we were heading way up towards wherever, it got a bit turbulent. I fastened my seatbelt as tight as I could and we started dropping a few bits. Next minute, there was lightning. There was horrific rain. It was the storm. It was grey outside. It was horrendous. And then all of a sudden, lightning flashes, hits the lights. And that feeling on a plane, I turned to Roscoe and went, fuck me, Roscoe, is this it? Is this fucking it? And it was, for those couple of minutes of that turbulence, I'd never experienced.
You see, if I'd have been on that plane, I would have stood up and said, it's okay, everybody. I've been in this situation thousands of times. We'll be grand. It'll be a bumpy landing, but we will be all be near an airport and we get on the next plane.
I think if we survive the plane, if we survive the plane journey like that, I don't really think about planes on Cessnas, small aircraft, anything. I'm just interested on what part of that brain, and when you're in your deep sleep, it keeps coming back to that. There's something there. Now,
don't interpret. We don't want to know.
It's a metaphor. It's not.
Yeah.
That would be near death, but that's a dream. But I suppose I've fallen asleep at the wheel once or twice, which is not a nice feeling when you get that gab. Oh, fuck. What the fuck? Oh my God. And you
can't remember the last 30 seconds.
No, you just fell asleep at the wheel. Now, touch wood. I did that in my late 20s and early 30s more than I do now, but.
More than you do now.
Or less than I do now. I don't fall asleep. But Tommy, you.
Less than you do now.
No, I mean, it hasn't
yes, we know what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at driving at home. Doesn't matter how tired I am.
Very, very well saved. Well saved.
You pull
Hector.
In now, Hector. When
you pull
need
in
to,
now, yeah.
When you feel
yes. Tiredness. Anytime I feel a little bit.
No,
cozy.
But I'm pretty
I
good
stop
at
driving. Coffee.
I'm pretty. Some people would say, why don't you stay over? I say, fuck that, I'm driving home. But near death experiences?
I had one.
Well, I had two. First of all, I crashed my car.
Hang on, can I just say that growing up in Ballinad does not count as a near-death experience?
I told you before, back the fuck off. And I don't know how clearer I can be about that.
Okay.
The first near-death
experience... I will not surrender. See, if I start apologising, I'm fucked.
You're fucked anyway, so it doesn't make any difference.
I feel like Robert De Niro in the movie The Mission, where he grabs a fucking cross and he carries it up the mountain.
You just fucking plough on up here, and as long as it stays fine for you in Barna, you won't have to turn to
us in Ballina.
Tommy
Tiernan, 7 nights at Hotel Ballina.
Oh, there's only two people here. Where are you from?
Lynch him! Yeah. Lynch him! Get him! Where is he? He's out the back!
There'll be two people in the room and fucking 9,000 outside. Burn!
Yeah,
burn!
Somebody like a Trump rally outside.
Somebody come out going, how are you, Paddy? Where is he? He's up in room 422. He's in there on his own. He checked in about 4 o'clock. There's a fucking fire exit round the back where you can gain access to the window. Go! That's all we need.
You haven't insulted people from Bunny Conlon, so they'll probably be able to come in, so you'll be all right.
Oh, I could live under an assumed name in Bunny Conlon.
Yeah, you could.
Go on.
So, myself and Audrey were on holidays. It was our first holiday. We went to...
Audrey.
Santa Ponza.
Oh, yes.
And they were the nights where you'd drink until the morning and then you'd go
fantasy
home
paradise.
At 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Would you be in foam bats in nightclubs and everything?
Everything. And we were coming home one night. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning. No, it was about 7 o'clock in the morning. And we says to your man that was walking around, oh, can we go for a swim? And he says, no, the pool's not opened. So I said, oh, fuck it, let's go for a swim anyway. So we went up completely drunk, came down in our bikinis and jumped into the pool. And I fucking nearly drowned. Yeah.
Because you were steamed.
Gone down to the bottom of the pool and fucking all three had to come and pull me up and...
Jesus. Why did you sink and not swim?
I don't know. I was drunk.
Alcohol lowers the system down.
It was not a fucking good situation.
You're not able to swim when you're...
I don't know. It was a very... It happens...
Did you go in the deep
it
end?
It happens, yeah. It happens. So, of course, you have no fear when you're drunk then. And you're like, oh, I fucking can do a backflip or I can go under the water and do whatever. And she was like, you didn't come back up. And then
did she jump in? Then
she was in there as well, but she rescued me.
Were you naked? Did you strip off?
We did. We were naked in the pool. So it was best,
skinny dipping.
It was best where she took off the bikini. That helped me float.
She was only weighing you down.
Yeah, it was weighing me down.
Did she resuscitate you on the side?
She did. She was mouth to mouth.
That's a nasty.
So that was once, and then the second time was I crashed my car, and I thought I was going to die because I went flying around in the car in the road, and then I went backwards into a field. But thankfully, I'll never forget, I closed my eyes and held the steering wheel, and I went, well, this is fucking it, I can't do anything about it. I didn't know where I was going to land. I didn't know, was there a big drop in the field? thankfully, it was like Jesus. It was like one of those things where you do wake up and you're like, oh, I'm here. The four wheels were burst in the car. The boot was opened and everything was all over the place.
Everything was all over the place.
But it wasn't as dramatic.
So know, what happened? The car spun?
It's just, I lost control going around the...
And did it spin round or spin top?
It just went like, it felt like the steering wheel felt like it was, you know those ones in the arcade where you just, the wheels
gone.
Just...
No grip. Control.
No grip and the car just went...
Is there something in your head now since that when you're driving? Going around bends, wet roads?
Yeah, we'd be careful on wet roads and stuff and just... you'd be more conscious of it, but it was, I suppose, when you have a car crash, it is that flip where you go, and my brother came to pick me up, and where he stopped, there was a little cross where somebody had already been killed at that very point. And every time I pass the road now, they've put up a lot more signs and they've put up a lot more security, kind of be careful going around this bend, whatever. But it's terrifying when you have a car crash because it's that like look of...
Do you ever look at those little shrines that they put on the side of the road for people who have passed on those areas? I'm fixated by them every time I see them, that somebody's there tending to the little shrine or the statue.
Yeah, there's one right across from my house on the road where a lad...
There's so many of them around the Irish roads.
There's an old road from... Is it the old... It's on the way to Sligo that there is about...
Oh, from the one that you go from Charlestown across. Is it through Tubbercurry?
It's because you're coming from Dublin. And it's in Connacht, and it's about a fucking 10 or 20 mile stretch, and it's white crosses on either side of the road.
That's when you go from Ballisadare over to Boyle.
Yeah, it's a long old draft of death, that one there now.
I wonder, is that what that's for?
It's because lots of people have passed away. God be good to them on that particular stretch.
So wow.
It's to remind people to slow down. Yeah.
So that was my near-brush.
I don't know if anybody else in this podcast would have had this experience of, you know, been out of their fucking minds on amphetamines, and it's 11 o'clock the following morning and your fucking heart is thumping like the fucking coming down the hill of Cheltenham, like you're a horse fucking the galloping hooves of your heart are fucking thundering down the hill of Cheltenham, and you're gone, please let me live, dear God, if you let me live I will never take another drug again. Please let me live. And you're convinced that you're going to fucking die. I mean, I've had that experience.
And what, do you close your eyes and hope?
Yeah, there's no sleep. There's no sleep till Brooklyn.
You just have to fucking wait.
Hours and hours.
Until your heart gets tired. 11 o'clock in the morning, you're walking around, everyone else has had a good night's sleep and they're so full of fucking optimism. And you've got the ghost of death inside in your skull.
You're breathing like a horse.
And then maybe around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you notice. And then you're coming to the far side. 4 or 5 o'clock. 6:15. Or. 8 o'clock. Peace has arrived. And to celebrate, you go for a bite.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to give a few quick shout outs now to people who are listening to the podcast in different parts of the world. And if you'd like to send us in a shout out with the hope of us reading it, go to thlpod.com. This is from a Kildare man whose name I cannot say for reasons that will become quite clear. I've been living and working the shovel for the past 22 years on the gas mains under the mean streets of Boston, Massachusetts. Your language and stories have shaken something in me. Something I thought I'd forgotten. And that's the joy of being a paddy abroad. Your storytelling has not only brought many job sites to a halt for half an hour, but has supercharged the paddy in us over here. And us navvies are now shoveling under the Prudential Building and Fenway Park like men possessed.
Ireland!
I tell you, we may not be in the Euros, but we're digging up fucking Boston.
Okay, come on, boys.
I haven't been able to travel home for 22 years.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
The life as an undocumented but proud immigrant has been made easier by you three fantastic
people immediately. I am transported back to Kilcock and hear the stories, the voices, the canal and the crack. Thanks for everything and for making the world that little bit smaller.
Wow.
Isn't that?
We have to go to Boston and meet these people that are undocumented.
22 years. I met a fellow one time in a bar in New York who was undocumented working on the streets, and he said, my father died last month and I couldn't go home for the funeral. I knew another friend of mine who's in Toronto in Canada, got hit by a car. Got fucking pinged on the hip, got shoved from one side of a fucking crossing to the other. Bad fucking bop. The woman who was driving screeched to a halt, are you okay, are you okay? And my friend had to run the fuck away before the cops got there because he was another world undocumented. So we'd like to say big shout
lovely,
out
that's
to that
lovely
fella.
Words
now there are a few other people who give them a quick hello. There's a fella, there's Fergus in Abu Dhabi,
hello Fergie,
there's Bill in Rwanda, there's Connor in Dubai and there's Pather in Dubai, there's Tom in Canada, there's David in the US, and there's Declan in Australia, there's Cormac who's in South Korea, there's
Cormac's teaching English.
Jack McDermott in Australia.
Come on, Jack.
Brian McCabe in fucking Germany. And Kieran Long in the UK. The UK. Fucking.
He's probably
Kieran Long.
He's
in Kieran Long in the UK. But Kieran drives a lorry all over the UK. And having this to listen to really makes me laugh and smile so much. Well, everybody, it's been a pleasure talking to you this week. Thank you so much for listening.
www.mayo.com.
Help Ballina. Quick.
God bless and good luck to you.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Hector. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. And do not forget that we have a brand new exclusive members-only club over at thlpod.com. If you want to get an extra bonus episode into your inbox and into your headphones every Monday, check out all the details. Check the tier you want on thlpod.com.